You may be seated. We're in Acts chapter 1 today. Acts chapter 1. This is a good week. It was an easy sermon to come up with because this was a week of waiting for me and for other people, waiting for Ray's surgery, waiting for a gender reveal for my son Ben and his dear wife Becky. And by the way, if you had not heard yet, they're going to have a girl. Their third child will be a baby girl. So the cake was pink, the cries were there, the squeals were exactly as I had predicted, and I will never know whether the squeals were had been a third boy would have been as loud. I won't know that. Acts chapter 1, waiting is something that we as believers need to take to heart. Acts chapter 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit, the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you in heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Father in heaven, we thank you for the command that you gave to the disciples to wait. And we thank you for the promise at the end of this reading that as we wait, we know that you will return in the clouds with great glory. As we wait on the Lord and renew our strength this day, we pray that you would speak to us by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friends, it's said that Americans are the most time-conscious people in the world. We are always in a hurry. We invented fast food, instant coffee, instant messenger, express mail, express oil changes, and expressways. We are people constantly on the move. As one man put it, we're people who shout at our microwave ovens to hurry up. I'm not going to ask you to hold up your hand if you enjoy waiting for anything. That holds up my sermon too much, and that would be a cardinal sin. One lady wrote about her frustrations waiting in line. She wrote, "Here are the reasons I'd like to thank Walmart, Kmart, and my local grocer for having 25 checkout lanes and only 3 open at any given time." She writes, "Waiting in long lines keeps my domestic brain from going completely idle. There's so much to learn. I can catch up on my magazine reading without buying the magazines at all. I have time to leave my card in line and run back to get the 13 things on the list that I forgot. I can be one of those annoying cell phone users and catch up on all my phone calls to my insurance agent, my mother-in-law, and Auntie Anne. I can catch a quick cat nap now rather than on the drive home. I can assess what other people have in their carts and get exciting new dinner ideas. I can finally apply my top coat of nail polish with plenty of drying time. I can run next door and pick up my dry cleaning. I can update my coupon organizer and leave the trash in the We Never Open Up checkout lane store instead of my purse. I can practice my stand-up comedy routines on unsuspecting fellow customers. I can practice some standing yoga poses, then do those isometric muscle contracting exercises no one else in line is supposed to know you're doing. I can taste test my package of the newest low-carb, zero-trans-fat, Splenda-saturated cookies. I can breathe heavily on my T-bones so they're defrosted in time for dinner, and I won't have to lean out to leave them out on the driveway in the hot late afternoon sun as I normally do. Things while you do in the waiting line. We've all been there. Times we've had to wait. Here's another interesting truth. Dr. Stanley Snininger writes about the impatience we feel while waiting for an elevator to arrive. Okay, we all can relate to that, right? We're waiting for the elevator. Manufacturers such as Otis Elevator have this down to a science. They know that a good waiting time in an elevator is in the neighborhood of 15 seconds. That's a good waiting time. Because at around 40 seconds, people actually begin to get visibly upset. That's what the studies say. 40 seconds and you're upset. When they're waiting for an elevator, as well as when they're in the elevator, they don't really feel that they can do much of anything productive, says one executive. Once on board, elevator antsiness intensifies while waiting for the door to close. The doctor asks, how long do you generally think you have to wait for the elevator door to close? 20 seconds? 10 seconds? 5 seconds? 2 seconds? The answer is only 2 to 4 seconds of waiting for that door to close. Which doesn't sound like much, but it feels for some of us like it's a really, really long time. And not just if we're anxious Americans. If you travel in Asia at all, observe this. Observe, says this same executive. You will notice elevators in Asia that the closed door button in elevators is the one with the most paint worn off. It is the most pushed button in the elevator. It gets used more than any other button in the elevator. Asians can't wait for that door to close so they can be on their way, and up or down. Ironically, notes the doctor, the closed door button is oftentimes disabled on purpose by building managers for liability reasons. People keep pushing the button and it doesn't even work. It's a dummy. It's a piece of exercise equipment for anxious fingers. Now, what am I saying in all this preparation? Few of us enjoy waiting. We don't like waiting in an elevator. We don't like waiting in a shopping line. We don't like waiting in a traffic jam. We don't like waiting in the doctor's office or wherever we happen to be. One woman tells about arriving at she was at a doctor for her child. She arrived 20 minutes early. She watched as patient after patient after patient disappeared into various rooms. And when she was still sitting in the waiting room an hour and a half later, she had enough. She got pretty irate. Fortunately, as she got up and went to the reception, she calmed down enough to handle it without anger, without incident or complication. When she arrived at the desk, she said calmly, I know my son's appointment was for 1 o'clock. Can you tell me if that was a.m. or p.m.? What a great way to express your frustrations. I wish I could come up with witty lines like that when I'm frustrated. And yet waiting is a part of life. It's a part of life. Here's something you need to know. Waiting plays a big role in the Bible. Big deal. Waiting over and over again. Biblical characters spend a lot of their lives waiting. Noah waited 120 years until it began to rain. Abraham waited until he was 99 years old before his promised son Isaac was born. The children of Israel waited in slavery for 400 years before Moses was sent by God to deliver them. God told it, Moses, I'm going to lead my people out of slavery. But then made him wait in the desert 40 years before he was able to do anything about it. Joseph, unjustly accused, spent 14 years in prison. Then God elevated him to second in command in Egypt. God had anointed David as king, but then David waited for years until the death of Saul before he actually ascended to the throne. Job, we talk about him as a person that went through a lot. But Job waited 60 to 70 years before he was vindicated. This did not happen overnight. It took years. Think about that. The vindication of Job took years, more than many of us have lived. Even Jesus himself waited 30 years before he started his ministry. I want to tell you that waiting is a part of life for the heroes of Bible, of the heroes of the Bible, just as it is part of life for us. And so we find ourselves today in the book of Acts. Once again, it is straightforwardly clear that Jesus gives his disciples one of their most difficult assignments. We've talked about making sure that they produce fruit. We've talked about what the fruit of the Spirit is. Hopefully we've been producing some of it. But here's a tough task and a rough assignment. Jesus tells them to wait. Verse 4. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He tells them to wait just before his ascension into heaven, just before they are able to see him in the clouds with great glory, disappearing in the heavens. He writes in verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Verse 1 says what happened because the disciples waited. He was taken up into heaven. We find that later in the chapter. He was taken up into heaven as a result of all the things that he was taught by the Lord Jesus. And how were they able to proclaim? They were only able to proclaim through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he appeared to them over the course of a 40-day period. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, they're eating together. Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father promised. Before the disciples started their ministry, before they started the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, they were commanded to wait. Now, the book of Acts is oftentimes called the Acts of the Apostles. It's a record of the activities of the disciples, the many things they did. But here we find in the first chapter of the book of the Acts, the book of the things they did, the first chapter, Christ is telling them to do absolutely nothing. First, they are to wait. What is it that they're waiting for? They are awaiting the gift of the Holy Spirit, as the scriptures say. For the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power, the Bible continues to say when Jesus speaks again. Verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. There are two basic commands that Jesus gives in this passage. Number one, wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number two, be his witnesses. Wait and be a witness. And understand that these commands are sequential. You don't witness and then wait. You wait before you witness. Why do I say they're sequential? It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power we need to bear witness to our faith. No waiting, no witness, at least no effective witness. I suspect that's why so many of us are so feeble in our witness of faith. We are not spending enough time waiting. We are not spending enough time praying. We are not spending enough time seeking. We are not spending enough time being still and knowing that He is God. Why? Because we're impatient. Because we just can't wait. I love the verse. That is the verse of the day. If you don't usually pick up the memory verse, you know, you might want to pick it up today. I made sure we put an eagle on it. It might be a really nice thing to put it up on your fridge. The bottom line is, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? How is this possible? Because it is the Holy Spirit that is enabling. It is the Holy Spirit that is generating the power to make it happen. If you try to do it in your own strength, if you try to do it on your own timetable, you will not have the Holy Spirit with you. And as a result of that, you will not have the power you need that only the Holy Spirit can provide to do the work of ministry He's called you to do. Waiting precedes witnessing. The Holy Spirit gives us power for this demanding task. I like the way an unknown author describes the work of the Holy Spirit. He uses the analogy of a common source of power, gasoline. We all get it. Gasoline we've seen before. We get gasoline. He says that the power of gasoline can be experienced in two ways. It can be unleashed or it can be harnessed. Unleashed or harnessed. Suppose I were to drop a lighted match in a 10-gallon barrel of gasoline. What would probably happen at that point? I might very well die. 10 gallons of gasoline exploded all at once can produce quite an explosion. Think of why they call them Molotov cocktails. They throw it in there, light it, throw it. It makes a big deal of difference. Quite an explosion. But think on the other hand, if I pour that same 10 gallons of gas into the tank of my car, then depending on the fuel efficiency of my car, I might be able to drive hundreds of miles. Dropping a lighted match into a barrel of gasoline might produce a spectacular effect, but a controlled burn will take me a lot further in life. The Holy Spirit is the fuel in the Christian's tank that helps us to be all that Christ has called us to be. We can wait on the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we can seek to live for Christ. If we want to mount up with wings as eagles, we must first wait on the Lord. We must pray for Christ's Holy Spirit within us. all of you have had times in your life when you had to wait for something. When you had to wait for something that you really wanted. But the Lord promised you something and you kept saying, Lord, I keep praying, but you're not answering me. Why is this taking so long? I point you back to the examples in the Bible of people that had to wait longer than many of us will ever have to wait. That for which you pray, you should not give up. You should pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you in your time of waiting. And then when the time has come for the revelation and the accomplishment of that task to happen, it will happen. And more often than not, you will be able to understand, wow, it is so great that it happened at this time instead of this time because of who I am in the waiting process. Waiting changes us. It molds us. It refines us. Many Christians have never grasped this principle. The Christ life, the Christian life, can never be lived apart from the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We need to spend time waiting as well as witnessing. We need to pray that God would give us His Holy Spirit to live within us, that we might be empowered to be all that He has called us to be. Then and only then can we experience the wisdom of the words of Isaiah. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May God give us the grace as He has instructed us in His Word. Because the promise of that which we ultimately wait is found in the concluding verses of this passage. The two men in white that come and speak to those that are looking up as Jesus ascends into heaven. They stand beside them and they say, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven. He's coming back. We have to wait. We have to witness. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to make sure that we can go for the long haul. The disciples, as they began the ministry of the church in the book of Acts, waited before they acted. And as a result, their strength was renewed and they were able to face the challenges that God allowed to come their way. May God give us the grace and strength to wait on Him and then witness for the kingdom. Father in heaven, I praise You for Your goodness and for this word. It's not easy to wait, and yet, Lord, it is a part of our faith. Continue to be with us, Lord, as we celebrate together, as we celebrate in fellowship over food, as we celebrate in fellowship over the celebration, Lord, of Amanda and Jason. Bless the food, bless us as we participate, Lord, in the fellowship that we can have one another. Help us, Lord, to encourage one another and to be an encouragement. Thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.